Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
And if Andy can do the second one, please.
And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made from camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased."
Thank you very much.
We're in the Epiphany season. An Epiphany means the revealing or the showing of Christ to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And the main story you'll remember from last week is the wise men journeying from the east to see the Christ child and bringing gold and frankincense and myrrh. But of course, there are other Epiphany stories, stories of the revealing of God. And today, it's the baptism of the adult Jesus in the Jordan River when the heavens were opened and a voice from heaven declared Jesus to be God's son. And so it was revealed to the crowds who Jesus really was. And actually all four Gospels tell the story of Christ's baptism. And this year we're reading about Jesus through Mark's Gospel in particular.
And let's just pray now for Ian. Lord, I just thank you for what you've put on Ian's heart to bring to us this morning. Lord, just open our mind, our heart, and our spirit to receive the message that you've given today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you, Andrew. Here's a little funny to start you off. A vicar told his congregation he'd prepared two sermons for today, the long version and the short one. Which one would they like? And looking a bit embarrassed, one by one, they all voted for the short version. "Okay," he said, "here it is. Be good." That's it. We do the course in Christian studies, and a number of you have been on that course, I know. And one of the topics that we look at is ethics. In other words, how do we make Christian decisions? And we tend to assume, to start with, that Christianity is about being nice to people. But it isn't. It's actually about being like Jesus. And to be honest, Jesus wasn't always nice to people. So how do we actually decide how to behave and what to do? Well, there are three ways in which we might make decisions, on three bases, if you like: rules, consequences, and virtues or character. Do you remember the story of the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10? He comes to Jesus and he asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus begins with the Ten Commandments, rules. That's our first instinctive answer. It's straightforward. Everybody knows what's what. Do good and avoid evil. Simples, as the adverts say. So we have laws and regulations. Under COVID tiers, am I allowed to go and visit my family? How far can I travel for my hour's exercise? Donald Trump, can he actually prevent Joe Biden becoming president? We have the highway code. Rule 68, pedal cyclists must not hold on to a moving vehicle or trailer. Road Traffic Act 1988, Section 26. We have health and safety laws, laws against discrimination, copyright licensing, etc. And the problem is this can all descend into legalism, like the Pharisees, splitting hairs, being unkind to people. Indeed, sometimes rules can conflict with other rules. Security wants us to lock the doors. Fire safety wants us to keep them unlocked. And of course, you might encounter a new situation where you don't have any applicable rules. And anyway, who makes the rules? Is it Parliament or Brussels or God? Another way of making decisions is to consider the consequences. The end justifies the means. What will bring the greatest benefit or happiness for the greatest number of people in the most effective way? This is the basis for the government's public health policy under COVID. Follow the science, keep the R number down, protect the NHS, save lives. It's also how we tend to make decisions in wartime, when the end goal becomes of vital importance. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Christian pastor, so he knew that murder was wrong, but he decided to join the plot to assassinate Hitler, because to kill one man would save thousands of lives. So too, the decision to drop the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Kill thousands in order to save many millions. This also tends to be the way our society now decides sexual behavior. Love is the basis. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so long as nobody's harmed, what two consenting adults do in private is their business, and who needs a marriage certificate anyway? You may have spotted this is almost in opposition to rules and traditions. And you might also have spotted the problem. In the end, almost anything can be justified, even car trips to Barnard Castle in lockdown. A third basis for making decisions is virtue or character. The Greek philosophers Plato and Aristotle championed this. Does your course of action develop courage, justice, prudence, and temperance? Christians then introduce some distinctive Christian virtues: humility, charity, patience, and chastity. So at the end of the story, Jesus finally challenged the rich young ruler, "Come and follow me. Train with me." This is why actors and musicians rehearse so much, why athletes train so much, why emergency services like the fire service and the RNLI do training exercises. Airline pilot Captain Sully who crash-landed his plane on the Hudson River in New York, didn't have time to look at the pilot's instruction manual. He relied on his training, how to cope with emergencies. In the heat of the moment, instinct and experience were his guides. He just knew what to do. So, if you're familiar enough with the gospel stories, what would Jesus do, WWJD, is actually a good question when you have to make a decision. Christians are training to be like Jesus, developing his character in our daily lives, becoming citizens of the kingdom of God. So read scripture, read the stories of saints in every age. There are more saints alive today than have ever died. Develop the Christian virtues, the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Jesus. And when you have to make a decision, it's worth considering all three angles: rules, consequences, and virtues. So first of all, ask yourself, is this legal? What do the regulations say about this? Secondly, what will happen if I do this? What will happen if I do that? Who's affected? What are the gains and the losses? And then thirdly, what will please God? What would Jesus do? Sometimes one of these will be clearly more significant. Greta Thunberg absented herself from school because she concluded that climate change protest was more important and worth breaking the rules for. I don't know, maybe you're facing tough choices today. Maybe you've got a difficult decision to make. Pray and commit yourself to God. Look at rules, consequences, and virtues or character. Pray and then take action under God. Amen.